This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening, everyone. This is Basma Farhad of the People Speak radio show. Here we believe when the people speak, they make a difference. You can listen to the People Speak live on BBS Radio every Tuesday and Wednesday night from 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, or by going to our website at www.thepeoplespeakradio.net. There you can also listen to past shows on our iPod Ready Archive section. That's www.thepeoplespeakradio.net. And you can also listen now via satellite on your Nokia phone. All you have to do is go to the website for details. It's a pleasure to have with us a team that I'm very impressed with, and I know our producers were very impressed with. From Sydney, Australia, our guests tonight are James Calhoun and Laurentine Tenbosch. They are nutritionists turned filmmakers. Now, that's interesting. As the creators, directors, and producers of the feature film Food Matters, James and Laurentine's intention is to reiterate the ancient wisdom of Hippocrates, let thy food be thy medicine. First of all, I'd like to congratulate the both of you on what I can tell is a remarkable film.
Basma, thank you so much for your congratulations, and it's an absolute pleasure to be speaking with you over the People Speak Radio. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. You're both from Sydney, Australia tonight, and James, may I ask you, the film hasn't been completed yet or released yet, has it?
No, that's correct. We're currently in the process of post-production, which is quite a laborious process in making a film. But we're very much nearing completion. We released the trailer to the film online a few weeks ago now. And I'd like to, you know, encourage people who are listening right now, if they have access to the internet, to go and check that out, because it will make for hopefully some great feedback and some great questions later on in the interview. So you can go to our website, foodmatters.tv, or you can go to YouTube and search Food Matters, and it will come up there as the official trailer. So we're nearing the completion of the film at the moment, and we're looking to launch in May this year, May of 2008, so in about 6 weeks' time. And everything's all set to go at the moment, so we're very excited.
Well, for those of you that don't know, we also have the YouTube link on our website at thepeoplespeakradio.net. So you can get it in a lot of places. I highly recommend it. It's just, you know, very interesting, and it is such a professional looking. Really, is this your first film?
This is our first film, Basma. Yes, so we've been very lucky to, I guess you could say, attract into our lives a very skilled team of editors and co-producers to help us along this new path for us, and additionally sound team. So. In particular, we'd like to credit our editor and co-producer, Enzo Tedeschi, who was really holding our hand throughout this whole project. As you mentioned, coming from a nutritional background into film, it's a big leap, but it's something that's very exciting for us, and really we're able to touch so many more people's lives through the medium of film, and that's really our main motivation for following that particular avenue.
Can you give us a brief rundown as to, there are many questions that I'd like to ask, but could you kind of explain to our listeners what the film entails? I mean, what is the objective of this film?
Well, the primary objective of the film, I think, is if we can imagine that if everybody listening to this radio interview right now, just about everybody for that matter in the Western world, realizes that at some level we're going through a major crisis, and it's not a crisis of the economy, although that is a very real concern at the moment. it's not a crisis about some war in the Middle East or terrorism, however that is a very real crisis as well. But what we are experiencing right now is a crisis of healthcare. And this is a very significant problem in the Western world. We are suffering from a significant amount of illness and disease. And what our film really seeks to help people with is to really help give them a second opinion, I guess. It helps give them a different way of looking at health so we can prevent, reverse, and correct a lot of the true underlying causes of a lot of the diseases of Western lifestyle that we're suffering from, be that obesity or depression or mental illness or even things as significant as heart disease and cancer. So what our film sets about doing is really giving people some clear, concise, and a lot of really grounded scientific information on how they can use this concept of nutrition and correcting the underlying causes to deal with their disease problem and with increasing the quality of their life through health.
Well, that's a very lofty aspiration. Do you think people are at this point willing to listen anymore? You know, we've had a lot of, obviously, you know, here in the United States of America, one of our big campaign issues in this election year is universal health care and how we're going to go about handling it. Are you offering alternatives to being concerned about this through nutritional methods?
Well, certainly, Daphne. I think the main issue we're trying to present and the main objective we're trying to present here is that people can help prevent themselves from having to rely on the healthcare industry. And that's really the heart of the issue that we're looking at here. It's not so much looking into the healthcare industry and trying to look at the systemic or the economical issues within the healthcare industry, which is the very real concern and what's being approached during the elections in America at the moment. But what it more looks at is how people can boost health, how people can help boost their immunity, how people can help increase the quality of their lives through increasing the quality of their cells through better nutrition, so they can prevent themselves from having to rely upon the healthcare industry, to prevent them from having to rely upon the pharmaceutical industry, so that we can ease a lot of that pressure on the healthcare industry through educating them more about how to improve the quality of their health, as opposed to just simply writing a prescription and prescribing them more medication. So that's really the underlying result that we want to have out of this film.
Let me ask you, James. Here, one of the things that, of course, you're comfortable talking about is the state of our healthcare systems today. Has there been any kind of improvement, or do you see the healthcare systems in general propagating just more use of drugs with no other alternatives or options? I know for a fact as a diabetic that there are classes that are offered and things like that, and people the genre of medicine seems to be a little bit more proactive than it once was. Do you find that to be true, or do you still find it to be very lacking?
I find that to be true in some sense of the word, but I feel that they're just really, the modern medicine is just really giving it a nod. I think they're not really acknowledging the true power of nutrition or the true power of nutrient therapy or these approaches to health which can really, really improve and correct a lot of the underlying causes. We have seen a lot of changes in our healthcare industry moving towards offering these alternatives and making people more aware about these alternatives, which is fantastic, and I applaud the direction that our system is currently following. However, I still think we do have a very large, you know, step to make to continue to bring this to the forefront and see this as one of the primary prevention strategies, and to see this as also one of the primary strategies to helping correct a lot of the underlying causes. So, and once again, I mean, that's really what we're looking at. I mean, Michael Moore did a great job at helping us recognize the failings of a lot of our medical system, and I applaud him for his film. He doesn't really go into too many solutions apart from a comparative review, but with the progression of healthcare, I think that we need to look a lot more into these alternatives. And as one of the interviewees for our film, a medical doctor, surgeon with many years clinical experience in mental health, cancer, heart disease, he is saying that what we really have is not so much a healthcare industry. What we have is a disease care industry, and they're primarily concerned with treating disease and not looking at helping prevent people from ending up with those diseases in the first place. And he seems to think that this industry is dominated by, you know, doctors and pharmacologists and surgeons and people who are truly not interested in reducing the amount of illness and disease, because if they reduce the amount of sickness and illness, then they would, by definition, be out of business. So really, it's a difficult situation to talk about, and it's difficult to discuss and bring up in public. But the economics of the healthcare industry is really stopping it from advancing, because there is a lot of money in disease. And this is an issue, a real issue we need to face, and this is a real issue we bring up in our film.
A couple of questions. One, first of all, do you offer informational alternatives on the film itself?
Well, in the film, we like to see the film as really offering some solutions to people. There's a lot of documentary films out there, and this is a really bane of that I have with the documentary film market, is that they're very much involved in scaring people and just presenting a lot of scare tactics, like An Inconvenient Truth, these sorts of things about global warming, and then you have a lot of films with concerns about pesticides and chemicals. But there's never really a large focus in a lot of these documentary films on the strategy to help correct, or a strategy to give people a plan about how to, you know, how to correct what's wrong in the film that's being presented. And what we are hoping to offer with our film, and what we think we have offered, is a lot of solutions to people. If people are suffering from heart disease, we offer solutions in our film that can let them know that there has been a significant amount of research in this area showing that changing diet, exercise, meditation, these sorts of approaches and supplementation can reverse serious chronic disease. And yet in many countries the world over, we're doing billions of dollars worth of bypass surgery for something that can be completely controlled with diet and lifestyle. And this is really what we're trying to connect to in our film, to help show people who are suffering from illness that there are other alternatives out there, and the alternatives being presented by the people in our film are by people who are eminently qualified doctors, eminently qualified physicians, and experts in their field. And that is an important message, and that's why we've been motivated to do this.
Well, I can only tell you that as a person that has personally journeyed through alternative healing practices for over 20 years of my life, I know they work. I know that the issues of diet and nutritional supplementation. How do you feel about a lot of supplements? I think that a lot of people are taking a lot more vitamins because, of course, and this is something that is of great concern to me, the nutritional depletion of our soil systems around the world. So are you a proponent of particular supplements incorporated with this?
Well, first of all, I'd like to start out by saying that with this film, we have completely 100% independently funded this film. We did not want to receive any sort of backing from any one particular therapy or one particular vitamin company, obviously because there's bias involved there. So we do recommend, or the people, should I say, the people, the teachers within our film, recommend that supplementation is a very real option for many people in this world, because we just don't have access to high-quality, nutritious food anymore. With the advent of commercial agriculture, and this is something that Lionsgate is very excited about as well in our film. With the advent of our commercial agricultural systems, we have really done a lot of damage to our topsoil. We've done a significant amount of damage to, you know, the soils where we grow our food. And they are now so depleted in nutrients and minerals that the foods that come from that soil can't help but be deficient. And when we apply these pesticides and herbicides and all sorts of other growth stimulants to try and achieve some sort of yield out of the crops that are growing in these terribly nutrient-depleted soils, we end up with toxic, deficient food. And so when people eat this food, if they eat just conventional vegetarian foodstuffs, people are, by you know, easy calculation, deficient and toxic. So in order to correct these underlying deficiencies, we're going to need something. And supplementation has become a very real need for many people in society. And as these deficiencies and as these toxicities through our food supply build up over time and accumulate in our bodies over time, it's resulting in a weakening of our immune systems and a plethora of other issues within our body due to the, you know, insignificant environment that we've created in the cells of our body. So this is leading to a litany of health problems. And then to go and seek, I guess you could say, a pharmacological remedy for these issues is really not looking at the reason that these diseases have developed in the first place. So supplements are a very real concern, and yes, we do talk about that in our film. The doses and the types of supplements are very important, which gets brought up further in our film. So hopefully people get a lot of information out that they can take home and apply to their lives right away.
You know, one of the things that I've always, I've often thought of, and I'm glad you brought it up, in relationship to toxicity in foods. Obviously, our food sources and our soil sources are saturated with decades and decades and decades and years of pesticides and chemicals that are now even. Let's, assuming that we do have a wholesome intake of food over, and we change our eating habits and everything, how can we ever really, is it possible to ever really rid our bodies of the damage that these toxic chemicals have? Because our bodies literally become a toxic waste dump at that point.
Can that be relieved? I mean, really, we are building up a significant amount of toxins, and our governments or our regulatory bodies might allow these toxins or allow these chemicals in our foods at low doses. But what we have to consider really is that with the accumulating effect of having all these toxins in our bodies over a period of time, that's going to cause a huge amount of damage. And it is something that we need to look to now in order to rid our body of these toxins is detoxification processes. And the primary way that we detoxify in society, and this is going to be very difficult, this is difficult to talk about in our film, and it's going to be more difficult to talk about on radio, is through the bowels. The main way we detoxify is through the bowels. And with mm-hmm. the average toxicity in the human fat cell these days, I mean, we've got this whole approach to weight loss where, and David Wolf talks about this in our film, we've got this whole approach to weight loss where we're going to go out there and jog and run it off and sweat it out through our skin. But with the average toxicity in the human fat cell, you don't want to be moving that stuff out through your skin. It's going to cause all sorts of, you know, pimples and breakouts and pus and all this toxicity coming out. You really want to focus on moving that out through the bowels as quickly as possible. And the way that we approach this form of detoxification is through colonics and enemas and really aiding the body's process of detoxification by moving these toxins out through the bowels as quickly as possible. And once you stop putting toxins into the body, those toxins naturally start to flow out. And, you know, this really requires us moving in the direction of foods that are less toxic, if non-toxic, moving in the direction of these foods which allow our body to release these toxins. And they would be foods that are whole, natural, raw, organic, plant-based foods that allow our body to release these toxins, and then aiding the body's detoxification system through the bowel to be able to release this tension on our body that these toxins have had on us for a number of years. And yes, we do get a lot of toxins from our food through, as you were mentioning before, and you're very correct, that with the pesticides and herbicides and all these residues that are left in our food, which don't come off when you wash them under the tap. That's another thing that people don't realize. But what we have also through our environment is we're exposed to a huge array of toxins. And as one of our medical doctors says in our film, he says if he tests our blood, we've got 5,000 times more lead in our blood system and in our bones than we do if we were an Egyptian pharaoh. And if we've had mercury fillings put in our mouth, if he does a brain biopsy on us, he's going to find that there's we've been intoxicated by mercury in our brain. So really we are exposed, and there's something like 70 million Americans each day getting mercury amalgam fillings put into their teeth each day. So we are exposed to a litany of toxins, and we really do need to be, as a society, focusing on how we can rid ourselves of these toxins, and not just on a once-off basis, but on a regular basis. When you wake up in the morning, simple things that you do, like drinking a lot of water and drinking a lot of these green, leafy, alkalizing foods and waters and supplements to help move the toxicity out and cleanse our bodies out.
Well, you know, many years ago, as I was very deeply immersed in healing many areas of my life, I used a lot of supplements, the greens, the green juices, many of these detoxifying cleansers, and it was just amazing. One of the things that disheartened me, though, and you know, was the cost factor, and I think that hinders a lot of people. And I'll tell you, because it is not necessarily cheap to be healthy. And I was very offended about, probably about 15 years ago or so, maybe even a little bit longer, when I had heard that the in Washington State, in Washington, D.C., our governing agencies, our bodies that govern America, have in their clauses, in their insurance clauses, they actually pay for supplements. And I couldn't help but be so angry at that, because they know. These people are in the know, and they know what the pharmaceutical companies are doing. They know what the growers and the farmers are putting into the soil. And they were trying to overcompensate that, and they go to alternative healing, and they use supplements. And here we as Americans never had that luxury supplement. So how does one... And then again, I guess it justifies itself in the end. Your good health is worth whatever the cost, I guess.
That's right. That's right. You're really great at this. Can we interview you for our next film? Yeah, you've really got a great understanding about this, and I applaud you for that. And we really hope to bring that understanding to a great many more people. The issue of the expense of living healthy, yes, you're correct. I mean, in Australia, to eat organic food, it's really expensive right now. In America, it's a little bit cheaper because there's a lot more demand, because people are a lot more aware of these choices and aware of the benefits of these choices. Regarding supplements and a lot of these special sort of quote-unquote superfoods that have these extraordinary healthful properties that we're discovering now, yes, they are more expensive. But what I think we have in our society at the moment is we have a values inversion. where we'd rather spend money, and this is what we talk about in our film, we're taught or we're advertised to or we're led to believe that we'd rather spend money on buying the next best car or the next greatest mobile phone or the next iPod or the next greatest gizmo, when really we should be taking that money and investing it into our health and our family's health. And this sort of values inversion is really, you know, leading people into maintaining their status as, I guess you could say, customers of the fitness industry. You know, incredibly powerful economic forces are creating, you know, little images in our brain that make us buy these foods, which cause us to feel unwell. And then they hook us on these foods until we continue to eat them and the food industry makes more money. That's how their model of business works. And that's fine. I mean, that's a great model of capitalism. And I think that model has existed in our society for many years. And it will continue to exist in our society for many years. It's really just supply and demand. But as more people become aware of the true benefits of using nutritional therapy, of using supplementation, of using these approaches to health, then hopefully that increased demand will increase the competition, will reduce the prices, and we'll be able to give access to this these modalities and this approach to preventing illness and healing illness to a great many more people. And if we look at a vegetarian diet with some supplementation and meditation preventing people from having from going through expensive heart bypass surgery, then I would argue that over the long run, if you invest in your health today, you are saving yourself from significant health costs later in life. And as we've seen, you know, it's harder and harder to get a payout from a medical insurance company these days. In fact, you know, they prey on people who don't have the money to fight a case saying that they need this particular care or that they need the income protection because they can no longer work because they're sick. So we're at a point now where people can take control of their own health, take control of their own life, and really, you know, really take their power back by choosing foods which support their bodies and in the long run really support them through better health through their whole life, through till they're very old.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm very impressed with the fact that of the funding of the film, and that, you, as you said, you aren't going to be soliciting any type of pharmaceutical or supplemental or whatever companies. And I think that speaks volumes, because I think a lot of people see these organizations, I mean, even outside of the traditional physician and doctoring programs, we have this conglomerate of insurance companies that we have to fight for everything. And obviously they feed on each other. They feed on the doctors. They feed. I think that's where our problem is. And it is not in their interest to eat healthy, for people to eat healthy. It just isn't in their interest. So they're happy that a film like yours speaks volumes in what I like how you put it, inversion. That is exactly what they're doing. You know, let me ask you, what would a breakfast or lunch at your home entail?
Oh, that's
on average.
We normally get asked this question, and it's morning time here in Sydney, Australia, down under, so. We're very lucky to live close to the beach where we are at the moment in Sydney, and we woke up and went for a walk along the beach. And the first thing I do in the morning when I wake up, and it's one of the simplest things that people can do, and it has the most profound effect on your health, and it has the most profound effect on detoxifying your body, and that is to drink lots of water. And you just get up in the morning and you drink a lot of water and things start to flow out. You start to notice these detoxification processes happening and you start to feel clear. Your brain feels clear, you're thinking clear, you feel good. On top of that, I have a wheatgrass powder in a water. We had that this morning, and then I had some supplements. I won't reveal to you how many supplements I had because that might scare people. No, just joking.
I have to tell you that it can't scare people because I take a fuck of myself, right?
I had a grapefruit and half a banana. So what, I mean, in the film, we've gone and interviewed many leaders in nutritional and natural therapies who are eminently qualified doctors and physicians from around the world who have had experience using this approach to health and are achieving extraordinary results in the fields of mental illness, depression, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, mental illness, these sorts of areas. They've been achieving phenomenal results. And these guys will explain to you how they're doing it and what they're focusing on and how they're helping aid patients. And we had about over 30 hours of footage we have before going into the film, and it's a very, very tough and arduous process taking that footage down to 90 minutes and then taking again that footage down to 3 minutes, which is what you see in the trailer. So there is a lot of information that didn't make it into the film, but we also tried to fit a lot of solutions into the film also. And for what's not in the film, we're developing online sort of access to the rest of the more in-depth information where it talks people through what to eat on a daily basis. It talks people through what sort of supplement programs they should be on depending on what sort of health issues they're suffering with, or even if they don't have a health issue and they just want to increase the quality of the energy in their life and improve their life that way. So that's really what we're connecting to once again.
What are your thoughts on meats and poultry and fish as food? I mean, I know that I'm certainly having a very difficult, image or ability to concentrate on this new cloned meat thing. It's like, and, you know, here in the United States, it has been passed by the FDA. We will soon be having cloned meat, if we haven't already, in our grocery stores. And the interesting thing, and I find this to be almost on, to me, it sounds almost on the edge of stripping me of my rights, they don't have to tell you that it's cloned meat.
That is a very, very, very real concern in our society. The quality of meat and animal products is a very real concern, and that's has proven to be overlooked in many cases. We've seen many cases in the news, if you scan the news and literature, that there have been numerous recalls of dangerous meat and contamination of meat. Personally, for myself and Laurentine, and for many of the people that we interviewed in our film, are vegetarian. We still do eat some fish because the fatty oils in fish are very important for a lot of the metabolic functions in the body. Obviously ensuring a clean source of that particular foodstuff is very important. But in no way in our film are we promoting vegetarianism, or are we promoting veganism, or are we promoting raw foodism. That's not what our film is about. What our film is about is promoting and raising awareness about clean sources of food and foods that really can help. And as you start to move in the direction of a diet that is less reliant on meat products and dairy products and other particular foods that do concentrate a lot of toxins, and these foods concentrate a lot of toxins. Meat, just by the sheer fact that an animal eats tons of food, and it goes into the fat cells of the body, and those fat cells of the body are concentrated toxins. And for the most part, in these factory farming environments, the animals are eating foods which have more than likely been genetically modified and sprayed with a considerable amount of pesticides and herbicides, and those residues still remain. They're being injected with hormones and antibiotics. And now, as you're saying, the FDA are passing laws permitting cloning of animals, and they're not going to label and tell you which ones have been cloned, which is cloned meat and which is not. We really are embarking on a huge biological experiment, and this is a very real danger to the health of our society, and we need to be moving in the direction of more whole, natural, raw, organic, plant-based foods to help remove that toxicity and restore the health of our society.
Well, I'll tell you, how about a little bit of meat with my toxins is more, I think, the way it almost sounds. We're going to take a break right now, and we have some email questions already starting to come in, and we will return in just a moment with our guests, the directors and producers of the film Food Matters. James and Laurentine will be with us. They're here with us from Australia, Sydney, Australia. Thank you very much for being here. And we'll be back in about less than a minute, folks. Thank you very much.
Join us on the People Speak Radio Show every Tuesday and Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern for an hour of live interview and audience interaction with guests from the realms of entertainment, education, activism, spirituality, politics, and literature. Get involved and make a difference for the better. That's the People Speak every Tuesday and Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio Network.
More than 1 million children are forced into prostitution every year because of sex tourism. Morocco has become a favorite destination. The economic difficulties contribute to the alarming growth of this industry. SOS Morocco's mission is to let the world know that it's against the law, a human and moral crime, to travel to Morocco with the intent to engage in sexual activity with a child. Please visit SOSMorocco.org for more information and to support our endeavors.
Got questions? The library has got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
Hello, everyone. This is Basma Farhat, and welcome back to the show. Tonight we're interviewing James Colquhoun and Laurentine Ten Bosch. I'm hoping I'm not butchering your names too badly.
You're pretty close there. I mean, my teachers always used to get it wrong in school, but, I mean, now everyone's learning, so hopefully you got Laurentine's name quite right, and you got mine very, very close, so fantastic.
Well, good. Thank you. For those of you who are in our listening audience, you can call our show and talk to our guests live and ask them questions. U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. That's U.S. and Canada. And their international number is 877-489-6350. That's internationally toll free, 877-489-6350. What I'd like to touch upon is a couple of questions that we have here in our email. One of our first ones is, what do you think about coenzyme Q10 as a supplement? Do you think that it's beneficial?
Okay, that's great. Good question. Coenzyme Q10. Coenzyme Q10 helps the cells metabolic function of the cells within the body. Coenzyme Q10 is particularly helpful with people who are suffering from heart problems because it helps to build heart muscle. The real benefit I've seen and read and talked about and conversed with many of these leaders in the world about is that this nutrient or this enzyme is particularly helpful for people who are suffering from heart problems or heart disease. And what we must remember, though, with supplementation is that by the virtue of the word itself, it is only a supplement. It is only in addition to a fantastically healthful and a wonderfully abundant diet. And unless we have a diet that is really grounded in these foods that really work well within our body, these whole organic plant-based and predominantly raw foods, foods that have been undamaged by heat, foods that have been undamaged by the processing of our food industry. It's only when you take supplements with these really strong foods that are good for our body that you're going to see the most profound effects. So my stance on coenzyme Q10 is that, yes, it is a beneficial enzyme, and it has proven efficacy in heart disease and these sorts of functions. But once again, it comes with a disclaimer: you must eat a healthful diet. But people think if they can take supplements, they don't have to eat a healthful diet, and I would say the opposite is true. When you supplement and you eat a healthy diet, then it really does have the profound effects on your life that most people are looking for.
Well, I hope that answered your question, Mike, from California. Our next question is from Lindsay from Iowa. She asks, the United States is experiencing a rise in obesity in children. Do you have any recommendations for food choices for children, considering they probably won't touch a green drink and might have a hard time taking pill supplements?
Hi, Lindsay. I hope you're listening. That's a really great question. Obesity is a very real problem. Obesity in Australia in children is a very real problem, and very much in America, as you've highlighted there. With children, it is, of course, difficult to have them drink a green drink or take some form of supplementation. You're very right. And the key element here is in making food fun for kids. Most of the time, you know, kids go to a shopping center and these huge industrial food companies are designing their advertising programs to manipulate children into eating this filth that makes them unhealthy, that makes them sick, that makes them obese. And to really reduce and eliminate this problem in children, we need to start reconnecting them to foods which are grown naturally and that exist naturally in our environment that don't have any packaging. So my advice, the best place to start is to start feeding your children food that doesn't come in a packet. The nutritional labels on food, this is contrived in some chemical laboratory about how much fat per grams or how much calories. It's not really about that. What we really have to reconnect to is reconnecting to real, whole, organic, plant-based foods. And the greatest way to involve children in eating a more healthful diet is to help connect up their little brains as to where food comes from. Right now, children think that meat comes from the supermarket, an apple comes from the fruit and vegetable section of the market. And I think by educating children, taking them to some sort of local organic farm or an organic farmer's market and speaking to farmers and helping engage them in the process of food creation, of how an apple is created, of how a citrus fruit is created, and helping involve them in that process and making it fun, chopping up the fruit for them, making it easy for them and accessible for them to access these types of foods, reducing their reliance on very sugary foods such as sugary drinks and canned soda pop is also a huge, huge element. And if you can do that and reduce the reliance on these processed, chemicalized foods and introduce more healthful organic foods and eat lots of vegetables, fresh fruits, nuts and seeds, then you're going to have a very profound effect on the health of your children's lives and on the obesity problem as well.
Well, I definitely agree with you in engaging the children. As a parent years ago when I was working with a lot of alternative foods and holistic products that were helping, and I tried to encourage my children to do the same thing. We used to smoothies is a great way to go. You throw a few strawberries and you can pass anything off in a smoothie. That's one thing. That's one trick that I always used. And I also, with my grandchildren, play the fear factor game. The grosser we can make it, and who can drink it, and they love it. After once they start drinking, it tends to. So there are lots of ways that you can engage your children. We have a question from John from the Canadian Rockies. Would the guest comment on the global shortage of rice and other grains that is causing food riots in other parts of the world?
John, excellent question. We were very fortunate early on in filming the documentary to interview a man from France. He's originally from France. He's a professor and he's a biochemist. And he's the head biochemist for the anti-genetically modified foods campaign for Greenpeace in Paris. And he was talking about these issues of food supply and food shortages around the country. And put it, I guess, in its rudimentary terms, what we're dealing with at the moment is not a lack of food. What we're dealing with is a food resource issue and how we're distributing this food and how it's being, you know, spread amongst the people. If, for instance, the amount of food that we're feeding to our livestock to create meat for our Western society is phenomenal, the amount of food that goes into processing. It's a very resource-intensive process. If we're looking towards solutions for how we integrate with our planet and solutions for the environment and solutions for managing our resources in a much more ecologically sustainable manner, then we need to be looking at how we distribute our food and the resources that we distribute. With the issue of, you know, food shortages, and in particular John was talking about rice, what happens, and I think what a lot of people aren't aware about, is that in America in particular, and this was brought to our attention a few years back, these giant agrochemical businesses and these agrochemical companies are actually funded by organizations to plant genetically modified crops. And then now in America, more people are becoming aware about the hidden dangers or the untested nature of this biological experiment, which is genetically modified foods. And they're deciding with the labeling restrictions now that they have to label genetically modified foods, a lot of people are choosing to not eat those foods. And so what America then does is there's this huge surplus of food which has been genetically modified, which is not wanting to be consumed by the general public. So what they then do is they ship this food to countries who don't have such labeling restrictions. And what we're finding is in the Middle East, in Qatar, United Arab Emirates, more of the very much more stable and economically strong countries in the Middle East, they're shipping these foods to those countries where they don't have these labeling restrictions. And what he found was that, in these food aid programs, the government is buying these foods off these agrochemical companies and then shipping it to these countries who have a food shortage. And so we're supplying this genetically modified surplus food to these countries who have a shortage, thinking that genetically modified foods is saving the food shortages in our world, but that's not the case. What is the case is that we need to look at our food resources, and if we shift to diets, and if we shift towards foods that don't rely heavily on using up a significant amount of resources, we can free up a lot of food resources, and we can more evenly distribute the food to the masses. And I think John Robbins is an excellent example of the power of food resource issues. And he had one particular quote in his book, I'll paraphrase it for you now, where he talked about how if we in America stopped eating meat for one day, or if we stopped feeding our cattle for one day in America, the extra resources from that would be able to give just about every person in the world a loaf of bread. So looking at the resource problems we have with our food and our overindulgence on these rich, chemically processed, contrived foods in Western society, we have a resource issue, and the way that we can change that is by taking our power back and choosing foods which are whole, raw, organic, plant-based foods which take us out of that cycle of these food resource issues.
Unbelievable. We have another caller on line 3, Mike from California. Mike, you have a question for our guests, James and Laurentine? Although we haven't heard much from Laurentine, we'll be getting to her in just a minute, Laurentine.
Yeah, I think I'd like to ask both of them if they'd like to both respond to it. First of all, it's a wonderful show. Are either of you or both of you also involved politically regarding any of this? Are you pushing for better education in the schools, working with the government, or I don't know, maybe in Australia and the rest of the world, to try and see that higher standards are used in regulating the food that people seem to consume, as you know, in the public, because most people just don't have time to. Seems like to be more careful about their food. They just go out, go to the fast food places, or they just pick up what's frozen in the, you know, the frozen food section and microwave it. And thank you.
Mike, hi, how's it going? Thanks for calling in from California. That's really great, and that's an excellent question. We do have, I guess you could say we have a hidden agenda. Yeah, you're right. Basically, we do want to see our film as educating people more about these choices, and we'd like to see that our film could be used as a tool within educational systems and within the arena that is our governmental arena that will help educate people about these choices. We don't as such have any process whereby we're going to particularly focus on one governmental organization or focus on this or the other. What we think is the most effective way to have these issues brought to the forefront within our society is by putting this information into the hands of the people and allowing people to make decisions for themselves. Because we are in a very, very, very fortunate time in our existence as humans. We are in a time where we can make a film or a book and express our views and opinions to the world, and people can take that information and act on it and shift economies. It can shift the whole way that we interact with our planet and that we interact with other human beings. And we've seen that with other films, for example. And so what we're really hoping we can do is engage within people a sense of power, within people a sense that if they do shift their food choices, they can influence the economy. And within the capitalistic system that we live in, if you shift your food choices, by the nature of supply and demand, corporations need to keep up, and they need to keep up ahead of the best of foods that people are choosing. And if we can educate people to choose foods that better their health as opposed to foods that diminish their health, then we're going to see a continuing change within the environment of food industry. In America, that's prevalent when you go and you have access to, you know, healthy restaurants, and you also have access to very unhealthy restaurants. It's the same in America. It's the same in the United Kingdom. But hopefully, just hopefully, as this information spreads and becomes more widely available to people, people will start demanding more healthier choices, and we'll continue to see better changes in our industry and in our corporations, and then that will filter on, I guess, in a trickle-up effect, hopefully, not a trickle-down, in a trickle-up effect, it will filter on to higher-level governments and higher-level organizations who will help to bring about these changes that will bring massive changes moving forward.
Well, you know, there's just unlimited information. You're a wealth of information, James. Thank you. One of the things that I've recently heard about that I find to be equally, if not even more disturbing, I don't know, there's a metaphor I believe that I've always loved when it came to seeds. And here what we have is what they call terminal seeds. This is seeds that can plant a field, but they don't actually develop any seeds of their own. Wherein the problem lies is that many Indians in India have, about 85,000 have actually committed suicide because they can no longer pay for the seeds to feed their, to plant their fields and grow their product. When I heard that, how do people that have such a high regard for the soil, high regard for nutrition and wholeness and the sanctity that surrounds really a very special way of eating, what do you think about that?
The technology that has been developed with the so-called terminator seeds that you talk of is very, very disheartening to see that in society, and it's very disheartening to see that there are corporations out there willing to design technology to manipulate farmers and to manipulate people's lives into a reliance upon their products. I feel very strongly that the corporate environment the capitalistic environment with which we live in is a very powerful environment. And I think it can be used to improve the quality of people's lives. And I think it can be used to abuse the quality of people's lives. And we've seen both areas of that in our society. And I think these Terminator seeds really take us further away from the approach to our soil and to our health than we need to be heading. We really need to be heading in a direction of connecting with our food, connecting with our soil, connecting with our agricultural systems, and connecting with the seed and how the seed sprouts and grows the plant, and understanding this process and teaching our children about it. And, you know, we were born, we evolved as human beings through agriculture. And as David Wolf mentions, who's a very great interviewee within our film, if you look out of the plane window when you're next on a flight, if you look out of the plane window, you'll look down and you'll notice that the primary way we are interacting with our planet is through agriculture. Despite all the giant agrochemical businesses, the primary way that we are interacting with our planet is through agriculture. And if we shift our food choices, we shift agriculture, and we can literally change the whole way that we as humans interact with the planet. And that is a very, very powerful message. And as we shift the way we integrate with the planet, we shift into a more ecologically sustainable organic farming practices that improve our health, that improve the soil health of the planet, and that improves our relationship with the planet. And that is a very real concern with global warming at the moment. So shopping, what we like to call it, is if you're in the shopping center or at the farmer's market, you're voting with your trolley. You have the power to choose one particular food over another type of food. You can choose some organically grown celery over some packaged, you know, chocolate chip biscuits or whatever. And by making that choice to choose the whole raw organic food, you're supporting a practice which takes us to the next generation of being really aware about our food choices and more connected with the environment and our health.
Well, thank you. You know, just so my guests won't think that I'm actually hiding Laurentine in a closet somewhere. Laurentine, would you say hello to our guests for us, please?
Yes,
thank
I'll
you for
put
being
Laurentine
with us.
You now. I've been hugging the phone. It's not fair. I'll put her on for you now. Thanks so much, Dasma.
Well, you're
Hi,
welcome.
Dasma. Yeah, I've been really interested in listening to James talk as well. So I've been doing it as well, but just to add to that, I wanted to see it from a more macro perspective as well. So what more and more people are starting to realize is that we do have a very intricate connection between our agricultural systems and human health. And, you know, this is, at the moment, it's a worldwide debate, you know, between conventional farming practices and our soil fertility and organic practices. And, you know, going forward, I'd like to think that, you know, our governments are keeping our health in their good hearts and their good hands, and looking at agriculture and how it will best serve our human health. And then I'd like to just quote one of the, Jerome Rodale, who was the founder of Rodale Press. It says, the health of the people is dependent on the quality of the food they consume, and the quality of the food depends on the quality of the soil on which the food is grown. You know,
beautiful.
And Rodale actually studied the Hunza people, which are nestled in the mountains of northern Pakistan. And from there, he's developed some really interesting organic agriculture, and his ideas of been founded on those practices of them. And he believed that the legendary health and vitality of these people and their profound agriculture is an ideal model for us to follow as a human society.
Well, it is absolutely profound. I can't tell you how this has been a pleasure. I'm sorry we didn't have a little bit more time to speak with you too, Laurentine. What we would like to do is, upon release of the film, perhaps have you back on and go in because obviously this is just this is certainly not a one-hour topic. I want to thank everyone for being with us tonight. Tomorrow night, Professor Linda Belms, co-author of $3 Trillion War, will be guest on April 9th with our host, David Swanson. Next Tuesday, I will be here with Jason Lemieux, one of the Winter Soldiers. He will be there. All of our shows air Tuesday and Wednesday nights from 8 to 9. And on April 22nd, we've just confirmed Phil Donahue, the producer and director of The Body of War, will be with us on the People Speak Radio. I want to thank you, Laurentine. I want to thank you, James. You have been a wealth of information, and we hope to have you back as soon as your film is released. That's Food Matter.
We've had a great time, and we very much look forward to speaking to you again once our film comes out in the coming month or two.
Wonderful. Food Matters, folks. Look for it. Thank you very much, and that's a wrap. Good night, everybody.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief of the fast, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours, land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.
Words can't truly describe what you see. Words can't truly describe what you hear. Yet some words can inspire you to see and hear images and sounds impossible to describe. Janubia, language of